2015 Artist in Residence applications are available. The KBOO Community Radio Artist in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The goals of the program are to support and invest in individuals who are pushing themselves artistically using sound and to bring those artists into the dynamic KBOO community of local, national, international artists and activists. Deadline for applications are February 13, 2015, 5 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm/AIR2015.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners who donated food for our volunteers today. Please call 877-500-5266 to show your support today. Breakfast was provided by Gravy, located at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue. Open at 7:30 a.m. every day and serving breakfast till 3 p.m. Serving lunch on weekdays after 11 a.m. Lunch was provided by Elephant's Delicatessen, making local food from scratch since 1979. With 8 locations in the Portland metro area. Menus and more at elephantsdeli.com. Dinner was provided by Reverend's Barbecue, located in Selwood at 7712 Southeast 13th Avenue, serving smoked brisket, chopped pork, and fried chicken. Family-friendly and open daily at 11:30 a.m., with happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m.
Hello, you're listening to KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, 104.3 in Philomath and Corvallis, 91.9 FM in the Columbia Gorge, and available on the World Wide Web at kboo.fm. My name is Gene Bradley, and today our guest is Ellen Morris Bishop. Ms. Bishop is a geologist, an author, a photographer, a teacher, a storyteller. She's the author of 4 books about the Northwest, including In Search of Ancient Oregon, which won the 2004 Oregon Book Award for Nonfiction. Today we're going to talk with her about her new book, Living with Thunder, Exploring the Geological Past, Present, and Future of the Pacific Northwest, published by OSU Press, just down the road. Ellen Morris Bishop, welcome to KBOO.
Well, thank you very much. It's really a delight to be on KBOO. It's one of my favorite of all places on the radio station.
Music to our ears. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, in 2003, you published, to wide acclaim, In Search of Ancient Oregon. What did you want to accomplish with this new book?
Well, a couple of things. One is that In Search of Ancient Oregon is specifically about Oregon. And, of course, Oregon's geological history goes back 400 million years, which seems like a long time. But if you step back and look at the entire Northwest, you can capture almost 2 billion years of geologic history there. So I wanted to take kind of a broader perspective on geology and geologic time in the Northwest. And I also wanted to include a little bit more about sort of native stories, because a lot of times there was no one there who had a written tradition to write things down. But native peoples, the Klamaths, for example, witnessed geologic events. The Klamaths actually, in their oral traditions, have a very accurate rendition of Crater Lake's eruption and how the lake was formed, although they certainly don't use terms like andesite, dacite, rhyolite, and ignimbrite. They have a different way of explaining that. But they're valid explanations that sometimes we need to pay more attention to, and I wanted to incorporate those.
Well, what do you mean in this book when you talk about the Northwest? I guess we should pin that down.
Well, that's kind of a movable feast in a way. In this particular volume, we're talking about the Northwest as a landscape of volcanoes and accreted terrain. That is, rocks that were formed to the west of Idaho and then accreted or added to North America. We're also talking about kind of the land of the Cascade volcanoes and the Cascadia subduction zone. So that really kind of puts us in Northern California, the very northwestern part of Nevada, all of Oregon, all of Washington, the western part of Idaho, and we can kind of slip into British Columbia a little bit.
So from Wairika almost to British Columbia and out to Idaho. So that's quite a bit of territory.
Yeah, pretty much.
One of the striking things about this book is the photographs. They are just stunning. And they add such a huge dimension to this book. In addition to, as you say, you wanted to write an introductory history for non-geologists. We appreciate that. But in addition, this book seems to serve as a field guide almost, because when you talk about rocks 2 billion years old, you turn the page and there's a picture of those rocks in northwestern Washington and western Idaho. It must have taken a tremendous amount of time and effort to get the photographs, to go with the text, to put this whole thing together.
Well, it did. It's kind of a labor of love because I love photography, writing, and geology, and so they all kind of go together here. But, yes, it did take a lot of time to find those localities on maps and track them down and then figure out the right way to photograph them and make sure I was back on the day when there was good lighting and that sort of thing. So I had a very, very patient and supportive family. My husband was sad to see me go on long trips, but fully supported that. So I'm a very, very lucky person in that respect.
And the photographs just almost could stand alone as a book, but together with the text, they just form a really a very rich account. It's mesmerizing almost.
Well, thank you. I mean, geology is a very visible subject. It's full of stories, but it's also rooted in examining and analyzing the landscape. And so I think in geology, we tend to really want to look at rocks and we have to analyze their textures and look at the mineralogy and kind of see how they're knit together. And all of that really lends itself to taking pictures of rocks too.
You write about the past, present, and future of the Pacific Northwest in geologic terms. And you start with the past 2 billion years ago and work your way through the entire sort of assembling of the Northwest. But there's an interesting piece of the book where you talk about how the book represents significant revisions in the stories we have of how this all happened. And you talk about the updates are not really the result of previous errors, but of the new technologies and detailed investigations and even serendipity. And you use it as an example, your own experience as a graduate student at Smith Rock. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Right, sure. I think that's really a very fascinating story. When I was a graduate student at Oregon State, which was a while ago, we would go on field trips to Central Oregon. We'd always stop at Smith Rock. Our esteemed professors would explain that this was just a little volcanic sort of blip in the radar screen, and then we would go on to Grey Butte, and they would sort of explain the same thing. And we would go to a variety of small, what appeared to be small vents. And so many of these were viewed as completely separate. And one of my favorite quotations is from Proust, which is, "The greatest voyage of discovery is not seeking new landscapes, but having new eyes." And so, very briefly, the story is that a developer needed to find a source of water for his development. Ultimately, the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries were called in to help him. They just happened serendipitously to assign two very talented geologists who had just finished mapping a lot of large volcanic vent areas called calderas in the Oahes. They came up and looked at the area around Prineville, looked at drill cores, looked at the whole landscape, and ultimately mapped out a whole new giant caldera that's about 20 miles in diameter and connects all of these small, what were thought to be small individual vents into one huge volcano that erupted massively as a supervolcano about 29.5 million years ago and is responsible for a lot of the ash that forms some of the formations in the Painted Hills, for example. So, yeah, we don't have to go on big, long field trips to find new landscapes.
You were listening to an interview with Ellen Morris Bishop about her new book, Living with Thunder, on KBOO's Radio Zine. And now we'll be joined by the folks from KBOO's membership drive. We'll tell you how you can support KBOO Radio.
Thank you, Gene. That's right. The way you can support KBOO is by calling us at 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. 500 KBOO. And we have an absolutely beautiful book to accompany this interview that Jean's doing.
You can have your very own copy of Living with Thunder, exploring the geologic past, present, and future of right here, the Pacific Northwest, right where we are, by Ellen Morris Bishop. For a $75 minimum pledge of support, you can get this, and you can make that, I think it's like $6.25 a month. You can have this sent to your very own home, and it's beautiful. It has a really wonderful photography, because this is an incredibly beautiful part of the country and the world, you might say.
Yep.
From Crater Lake to what else is here? Steens Mountain in the spring. Yeah, there's just beautiful, beautiful photography and all kinds of information about the geological formations and history of this part of the world. An excellent, excellent educational and education and beauty together. I like that. That sounds like something that might happen at KBOO.
And a celebration. A celebration, right. The beautiful terrain of Oregon and the areas around Portland. And there are many, many people who move to Portland every year, and those people discover KBOO, and they realize what a great radio station this is, and they become part of the KBOO community. And those people do that by dialing us at 877-500-5266, and as the lovely Lynn said, $75 pledge, and you get this terrific book and the sense of well-being of knowing you're supporting your community.
How win-win can you get? I can't think of another way to
do it. It's a win-win winter
drive.
Win-win-win-win-win
winter drive. Oh, really good. Very, thank you, Will.
You're welcome.
KBOO.fm is another way to support us, to go and support us. And you can check out the schedule and other things that you might want to be listening to, which are always there on our website, or past programming. Sometimes you can get that out of the archival material. 877-500-5266 to call. KBOO.fm to click, or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th. We will be happy to take any form of payment, check, credit card, or cash for your... We're not doing chickens or anything like that, but or potatoes.
What?
Or, well, you know, in the old days they used to pay their doctors with food and things like that. That's why I say we don't take any form of payment.
Okay.
We're taking
we're not taking chickens.
We're not taking chickens, but we are taking money. We're taking cash. We are taking credit cards, debit cards, and checks. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. KBOO.fm is the place to click, and come on down to 20 Southeast 8th. It's really fun down here. Come on down. It's
going to
be a nice day.
We're not anti-chickens, though.
We are anything but that. But anyway,
because chickens are part of this community, and so are you. And I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If not you, who? Listener, I'm talking to you out there right now. If not you, who? Who is going to support this community radio station? It's so important you do this on this wonderful Portland, Oregon day. Dial 877-500-5266.
And do it now. Back to our programming.
You were listening to an interview with Ellen Morris Bishop about her new book, Living with Thunder. And you say that Smith Rock looks pretty much the same, but the meaning of the place has been completely changed by this research.
Oh, it has, it's gone from being just a little burbly vent to being something that just has a whole different dimension.
And this was an explosion, a caldera, as big as Mount Mazama, or bigger.
Oh, yeah, bigger than Mount Mazama.
Wow.
It's almost the size of Yellowstone. So when Yellowstone erupted, it put... ash down all the way to Nebraska and Kansas and a little farther than that. So, you know, it's a very powerful volcano, and there are a number of those that Jason McLarty and Mark Ferns have continued to map out in Central Oregon, which, you know, gives us a whole different understanding of the Owyhees and the Mutton Mountains and other places.
So what we're able to see and understand is continuing to go forward, even though we're looking at what we would think of as the same rocks, the same formations. Our understanding is just increasing as far as what went on.
Yeah. Absolutely. And part of it is just having other people show up and look at things who can put two and two together and come up with four instead of three and a half. And, you know, the other thing is that we have new technology. So there was a great deal using Smith Rock. There was debate about the age of Smith Rock because the dating techniques were not really very good. Well, now we have ion microprobes that can get an age from a single mineral that's a millimeter in diameter, and they're very accurate ages. So now we know it's 29.5 million years plus or minus a few thousand years that that eruption occurred. So, yeah, technology is a wonderful thing.
So when we drive by Smith Rock, we should have new respect.
You should. You should definitely have new respect, yeah.
When you talk about the development of the Northwest, you talk about the Northwest geological DNA as its volcanic history. And when you get to the present, you say that the Northwest remains a place of geological unrest, and you name a bunch of functions. And we certainly have heard a lot in the news about the Cascadia subduction and earthquakes. Mm-hmm. But could you talk a little bit about volcanic hazards as they exist today?
Oh, sure. You know, I think many people are increasingly aware of volcanic hazards that include, for example, huge mud flows that could come down off of Mount Rainier and run through the city of Puyallup. Certainly in the late 1790s, Mount Hood erupted and put a very large mud flow or lahar down through the Sandy River. And, you know, we used to think that that these volcanoes were sort of dormant. We kind of wrote them off as, oh, gosh, well, these won't erupt. They're our backyard volcanoes. They're happy neighbors, and we don't have to worry about them. Well, we do need to worry about them because large parts of Mount Rainier, for example, have been sort of soaked in or steamed, basically, in sulfuric acid by volcanic action. And the rock is what a geologist would call sort of rotten. And consequently, it is at the summit of Rainier, can come apart fairly easily. Part of it can collapse and come down the Puyallup River or other rivers. And there have been huge mud flows like that in the past, and there's no reason they won't occur in the future. I think we tend to think, oh, well, this won't happen here, it won't happen now, it won't happen to me. But, you know, over and over again, we see events like landslides, for example, that that do happen, and we have to be kind of wary of those things.
When we saw Mount St. Helens event, we saw that whole north side sort of collapse and things, and that's the kind of thing you're talking about, the huge flow down the Toutle River and things like that.
Yeah, well, for Rainier, there's certainly no reason that Rainier couldn't erupt again, and there's, you know, no specific model for how that might happen. But what I'm talking about is not so much an eruption as an event where there's, you know, potentially a large individual snowmelt or some heat that escapes from the volcano, melts part of the glacier, and then that water is able to erode a lot of the summit rocks. But there are things called sector collapse, and that which may involve eruptions may just be that the volcano becomes unstable and you have a huge landslide, which is kind of what happened at St. Helens, but that was also accompanied by an eruption.
Right, right.
So Mount Shasta, for example, did a sector collapse a long time ago that covered over most of the valley that's to its north. That same sort of thing could happen to Rainier. It could happen in Hood. We know that there was a mud flow and sector collapse that happened on Mount Hood that sent debris all the way down the White River and all the way across the Columbia River, so down the Hood River, and then up to White River on the other side. And so, you know, those things do happen. They don't happen every day, and we don't really know when they're going to happen, but you know, the Earth is a moving, living place, and it's going to change.
One thing that's impressive about the book is that when you spend a few pages in geologic time and you get back to the minute by minute, year by year thing we live, the two are hard to reconcile, hard to go back and forth between daily life and geologic time. I mean, it's quite.
Yeah, I view geologic time as kind of an escape hatch from all of the. You know, all of the stress that I might endure during the day. I can just, you know, go sit on an outcrop and think, well, this has been here for the last 20 million years, and that's really a long time. So the thing that is bothering me right now is really pretty insignificant in the large scheme of things. So geology is useful in a number of ways, but to me that's one of its uses.
You were listening to an interview with Ellen Morris Bishop about her new book, Living with Thunder. on KBOO's Radio Zine. And now, we'll be joined by the folks from KBOO's membership drive, who will tell you how you can support KBOO Radio.
That's right. We are here in the Palace of Pledge, are we not, Will?
We are indeed.
I'm Lynn. I'm here with Will.
Hello.
And we are wanting you to get a little thunder going back here in the back room.
That's right.
By calling 877-500-5266 in the, for the Palace of Pledge to be bustling and hustling. 877-500-5266 to support KBOO. Right, Will?
That's for sure. That is without a doubt. You lovely folks out there listening right now to this amazing interview, we have a beautiful book that accompanies this conversation, and it shows the geography and geology, obviously, of the beautiful state of Oregon. And I know
the whole Pacific Northwest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the past, present,
how inclusive.
And future. It's extremely inclusive.
And that's community radio. It's
absolutely
inclusive.
Absolutely. As inclusive as KBOO. 877-500-5266. Right now is the time to do this.
If not now, when?
When? I can't. It's the time.
It is.
This is it. You're listening.
I just checked my watch and it's now.
You're enjoying this great show on with Gene interviewing, I've got to remember, Ellen Morris Bishop, and it's time for a $75 donation. That's about $625 a month. You, too, can own this wonderful book, Living with Thunder. It's got great photographs and information about the geology of the Pacific Northwest. It's very interesting. It's kind of geeky because that's why we KBOO listeners are a little bit on the geeky side, and we love that.
Yep.
We love that. This is the place for it. Portland is the town for it. If you're a new person to Portland and you're listening right now and maybe you just discovered this radio station, don't wait to listen some more. This is the time. We want you to do that, but you'll feel better about listening if you call 877-500-5266 to make your donation today.
That's right. That's right. And maybe you've just moved to Portland and you've seen an interesting rock formation and you're wondering, I wonder if that's like a billion years old or a couple of billion years old. And you just don't know. Well, now you can get this book for a very simple pledge of $75. It's a one-time payment, or easily spread out over 12 months at about, what was it, $675?
Is it $675 or $625? It is right in there.
It's affordable. That's what it is.
It is $625. I was right. I did the math. Woohoo!
I didn't doubt you. I never doubted you. I don't doubt our wonderful listeners. So when those people who are listening right now realize the value of community radio, you're going to pick up your phone. You're going to dial 877-500-5266. We have some volunteers here eagerly waiting to answer those phones. We want you to make those phones ring. You can do it, and you can keep this amazing organization going. You can also become a volunteer. You can come down to 20 Southeast 8th. That's what I did many years ago when I first started listening to KBOO, and then I realized I could be part of it, and you can too. But if you don't have time for that, then maybe you have time to pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266. You can make it happen. You can get this wonderful radio station funded so it can pay its phone bills, its electric bills. It's a shoestring budget, but as we all know, shoestrings do cost money.
Yeah, try 1 hour of your wages per month. You could start with $5 if you're making $5 an hour. Very sorry about that. If you're making $10 an hour, $10 a month, that's $120 a year. It's a really great way to do it, and we really love the electronic funds transfer. It's sustainable. It's very secure, very super convenient for us. And for every $1,000 a month that we can increase it, we're able to take one day off the membership drive every year, and we know people like that. It's the very best way to provide stable funding for KBOO, and about 40% of our members contribute by EFT. It makes it, I know I do, it makes it much easier. I don't have to think about it as much. I have to think, oh, make sure that money's in there at that time of the month. That's it. Do it right now. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. It's to support your community. A community radio station is a gem and a jewel to have. There are not very many of them in this country anymore. We are one. We're stable. We're here. We've been here for 47 years. We're going to hope to be there for 47 trillion more, I tell you. No matter what Neil deGrasse Tyson says. So call 877-500-5266 right now and support KBOO. 877-500-5266. And now back to our programming.
You were listening to an interview with Ellen Morris Bishop about her new book, Living with Thunder. And you say we're in a new geological age, really, the Anthropocene. where humans themselves are a geological force. Could you talk about that?
Basically, a long time ago, Bill McKibben's first sort of hit book was something called The End of Nature. And that book essentially said, look, there's, you know, no matter where you go, the influence of humans is quite evident. Whether you're in a wilderness area and you look up and there are jet contrails going back and forth, or whether you just inhale the air wherever you are because we've changed its composition. We've changed the composition of ocean water. We've changed the composition of soils. We've basically just done, we've diverted rivers. We've done a tremendous amount of geological work, and the planet is simply not quite the same as it was. So many geologists would like to see a new geologic time period known as the Anthropocene, when humans are a major driving factor of changing the climate, of changing ocean chemistry, of, you know, of being part of what Elizabeth Colbert has termed the sixth extinction in her book. So there's no question that we are essentially a geologic driving force. We may not be the same thing as the eruption of the Yellowstone caldera, but I think we're coming pretty close in our capacity to drive species to extinction, to change chemistry, to modify climate.
You say that as we move to the future, perhaps the most important geological consideration is us.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's the decisions that we make every day. It has to be a personal decision, but we also need to make good, sound political decisions and good, sound economic decisions. And I was really heartened. I think yesterday the New York Times had a short article that said that now the majority of Americans actually think that climate change is very real and that we need to deal with it.
I interviewed Bill McKibben a couple of years ago on KBOO, and his comment was, you can think that things can change and we can make adjustments, but really, if you don't do something about this, the party's over. And
I think that's true. And, of course, I mean, we keep discovering brand new sources of fossil fuels. So, you know, we're now putting back all the carbon. We've practically put back all the carbon that was taken out by the Carboniferous, that's 370 million year ago, swamps that produced coal. And we're working on putting all the rest of the carbon back into the atmosphere that's been sequestered in geologic deposits. So we have tar sands and oil shales and fracking. We just need to try different energy sources because, I mean, once we put the carbon dioxide in, there's really no good way to take it out in any short amount of time that's even the best technologies have come up with.
Well, I want to thank you for this interview and for this book. I want to quote the late Terry Todemeyer in a comment he made about your book, In Search of Ancient Oregon. And he said, here is a great book from which you will learn more than you expect and which will compel you to see more than you imagined. And that certainly is the case with your new book, in my opinion, Living with Thunder, Exploring the Geological Past, Present, and Future of the Pacific Northwest by Ellen Morris Bishop, published by OSU. We want to thank you for your time, Ms. Bishop.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
It is just
been a delight.
An incredible book, and thanks for talking with us today.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Hi, I'm Bob McChesney. I spend a lot of time working to reform our media system to get policies to give us really great community media and public media. But right here in Portland, you've got one of the great stations, KBOO Radio. I'm delighted to be here. You should be glad to be listening to it. It's your lifeline to the future.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the film screening Home Skillet, Thursday, February 12th at the Mission Theater in Portland. The film tells the story of Portlander Maggie. Her life intersects with Alicia, a teen mom. As Maggie continues on her journey, the lives of many are deeply affected. Again, that's the film Home Skillet, Thursday, February 12th at the Mission Theater, 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Tune in Saturday, February 14th for our membership drive, Bluegrass Marathon. From 9 to 5, we'll have bluegrass music and live performances by New Blue, The New 5 Cents, Holler Bodies, Mountain Honey, The Puddle Town Ramblers, and String Style, all playing live in studio. That's Saturday, February 14th from 9 to 5, 8 hours of bluegrass music here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Hello and welcome to a special membership drive edition of Words and Pictures, the comics and animation show. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and if you, the listener, have spent any time at all browsing the world of comics, my guest today needs little introduction. Scott McCloud is a lecturer, comics innovator, and author of Understanding Comics, Reinventing Comics, Making Comics, and the epic new graphic novel, The Sculptor. Scott, welcome back to Words and Pictures.
Thanks, Conch. Glad to be here.
So, Scott, after doing a bunch of books about the theory of comics, and these are books that have become part of the curriculum at art schools for over 20 years now, that was, Understanding Comics came out in the early 90s, if I recall.
That's right, yeah, 93, about 6 months before the first graphical web browser.
Oh, wow.
It might have been, you know, just prehistory for all it matters now. Yeah, lots happened in those years.
Well, after 20 years of these various books about comics theory and very